Man, that's one way to tell the story, huh? This is awesome, awesome. Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, we're going to talk about that very story there where Jesus heals a paralyzed man. Mark chapter 2, New Testament, just go Matthew, then Mark. And as you're going there, come on, this is an easy one. Matthew, then Mark. At this time, will you please help me welcome all of our campuses as well as everyone over in the annex right there next door, man. Give them a big hand clap. Love you guys. Glad you're with us today. Mark chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when Jesus returned to Capernaum several days later, the news spread quickly that he was back home. Soon the house where he was staying was so packed with visitors that there was no more room even outside the door. Come on, even the annex was full. You know what I'm saying? It was a packed out church service. Jesus is in the house. Look what it says. He was preaching the word of God to him. While he was preaching the word of God, four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, my child, your sins are forgiven. But some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking, so he asked them, why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. And the man jumped up, grabbed his mat, and walked out through the stunned onlookers. They were all amazed and praised God, exclaiming, we've never seen anything like this before. Come on, man, what a scene. Do you know what I'm talking about? This is an incredible church service going on here. Let me paint the scene here, and I want everyone to understand that anytime in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, when you see Jesus in a house, this is a symbol or a type and shadow of the house of God. And what's going on here, man, this is a kicking church service. Come on, Jesus is in the house. The word of God is being preached, and it's packed. There are all kind of visitors. Come on, how many of you know God loves visitors in his house? Jesus is always about seeking and saving the lost. He's all about, he'll leave the 99 to go after the one. And if there is a house that is truly God's house, is always going to have a welcoming atmosphere to visitors. Can I have a good amen to that? Many of you know, when you came to Celebration Church and your first time, hopefully you felt that love and you felt that acceptance that comes from the love of God. God accepts people just as they are, for who they are. And when Jesus is in the house, I want to let you know that he wants visitors, unsaved, unchurched, every different type of people, color, race, from all walks of life. He wants them to come in his house, and he wants his house to be packed. Can I have a good amen to that? So there's this great church service going on, and all of a sudden, what comes into the scene is this paralyzed man. What I believe this paralyzed man represents is a person that by his own power is just not going to come to church. In other words, in the Bible here, we have a picture of a man who is physically paralyzed. It's physically impossible for him to get to Jesus, for him to get into church or come to a church service, so to speak. It's impossible, but I believe that he represents much more than that. I believe that this paralyzed man represents anyone who is lost and hurting. And how many of you know that everyone without Christ, whether they even realize it or not, they are lost and they are hurting? And so this man represents someone that basically is just not going to come to church by his own free will, is just not going to come to church, you know, like I'm just going to, you know, get up, go by myself. In other words, this guy needed some help. And thank goodness he had four friends. Thank goodness that he had someone that was looking out for him. We don't know the attitude of the man. We don't even know how much the guy really wanted to come to church in the first place. But I'll tell you what we do know about this story and really what the story is a lot about. It is about four guys who said, come hell or high water. Can I say that in church? All right. Is that all right? I mean, hell's in the Bible. The gates of hell shall not prevail against God's church. Come on, I'll throw Bible at you on hell. So anyway, come hell or high water. They're like, man, we are going to do whatever it takes. Watch this. Because these four guys, let me tell you what I think these four guys knew. These four guys knew if they could just get this guy into God's house, that Jesus was there and anything could happen. So what we have is we have these four friends. Basically, they're inviting this guy to church, but come on, they're not going to give him many options. In other words, so, you know, whenever however they knew this man, this paralyzed man, I mean, they just basically said, guess what? You know, hey, you want to come to church? And we don't know what maybe the paralyzed man said, you know, yes, no. They're like, hey, it doesn't matter. We're coming to pick you up right now. Do you see what I'm saying? Those four guys represent your car. Uh-oh. Now you know where this message is going, don't you? In other words, these four guys, and they bring this guy. It's four guys, and they bring this guy, and they come to church, and oh no, man, it's Easter Sunday. It's packed, man. Everything is jammed out, packed out, and what are we going to do? In other words, here was this huge crowd, and we don't know how long they had been carrying this guy, but there's something about these four guys. They just knew if they could get their friend into church, they knew God was going to do something. Let me give you a question. What if you knew? What if you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that whoever you bring to church next weekend would be saved, have their sins forgiven, and surrender their lives to Christ? Who would you invite this week? How many people would you invite this week? Would you be willing to go the extra mile and do whatever it takes? These four guys, they had this kind of faith. They're like, we are getting this guy in front of Jesus somehow. So they come, and here's the crowd. They don't know how to get. Look, they immediately counter inconvenience. First of all, we don't know how long they had to carry the guy. We don't even know how much the guy weighed. We don't know what the walk was like, how far the walk was, but we know that there's some inconvenience going on there. Come on, can you thank God for automobiles? You already got one up on these four guys right here. But they encounter inconvenience, and then they get to and here's the crowd. And I love it, man. In other words, here's inconvenience. You know what these guys? These guys are persistent. These guys get creative. These guys are even a little deviant. You know what I'm saying? They're about to destroy some property to get their buddy in church. But this is what I want to say, gang. When there's a principle here that when God is saying, man, when you partner with me and you're inviting someone to church, understand many times it's not going to be easy because there is an enemy of that person's soul. And the enemy knows, man, when you get somebody in the house of God where there's a clear picture of Jesus Christ, there's a great chance that the devil's about to lose out on that one. And so all of a sudden, these guys get there, man, and they start getting creative. I mean, they are going to do whatever it takes. They're like, okay, we are going to get, and sure enough, man, they come up with this great idea. Man, we're going to get up on the roof. We're going to destroy a little property. Come on, it's all right if you destroy a little property for God every now and then. You know what I think this is a picture of, though? You know, about the church? This is, look, sometimes the church is messy. In other words, the church isn't about a pretty building. It's not about the structure and all that. It's about having a facility and an environment that you can do whatever it takes to get people in. And that's exactly what we're doing in our next facility at Bay Meadows and 9A. Look, it's going to look good on the outside. It'll look fine. But I'm telling you, it's not about that. It's about Jesus being present on the inside. Can I have a... Are you tracking with me? So I want you to think about it, man. This week, I'm asking you to be a friend to someone. If you think about them, man, they're probably not on their own free will just going to get up on Easter Sunday and decide to come to church. They need your help. And will you commit to being persistent like these guys? Will you commit to overcoming inconvenience? You know, you call them, they say, oh, I'm not going to go. Look, just call them back the next day. Get them. Just say right now, say, look, just agree that you're going to come to church with me and I will stop calling you. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you got to do is, guilt. Use guilt. We don't use guilt in God's house, but you know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, pull something. Look, remember what you did to me 6 months ago? Remember how I bailed you out of that situation? You know what I'm saying? Right now, we can wipe the slate clean. Just come to church with me. How about this one? Maybe some people owe some of you money. Anybody? You know what I'm saying? Somebody owes you money out there. Don't raise. I see some of you like standing up, like you're pointing all over here to this section, or you're in the annex. You're pointing to the. Don't point. You know what I'm saying? But do this. If someone that doesn't already attend Celebration Church, if that person owes you money, the man invite him, say, look, I'll wipe your debt clean. Some of you are like, man, I ain't wiping all that debt clean. That brother owes me some money. You know, give them whatever. Give them $50 off. I mean, do you see what I'm saying? This, I want you to see the attitude. This is so important where this story leads. Watch this. I want you to see the attitude, though, of these four guys. You know what? They were not going to take no for an answer. They were going to find a way to get their friend in front of Jesus. And that's a great thing about Silver. Oh, well, you know, I can't. I'm busy Sunday morning. Great, we got Saturday night. Oh, well, friends are coming in from out of town. Great, we got Good Friday communion service. Oh, well, I'm going to have to be down at my aunt's house in St. John's County. Great, we got a service down in St. John's County over Bartram Trail. Oh, I'm going to be over here in Orange Park. Great, we got a campus at Orange Park. Man, I just really don't like your pastor. I watch him on TVs. You're watching me right now on TV. You're like, I just don't know if I can handle it. Here's what you do. You can say this. Look, you don't even have to be around him. I'll take you to the annex. You know what I'm saying? Or another campus, and we can just have our distance from him. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, don't take no for an answer. You know? What I mean, whatever. Well, you know, I got my relatives coming in. They're Spanish. Hey, hablas español, 6 o'clock Sunday night. Jesucristo, baby, 6 p.m. Sunday night. And in fact, I'm even preaching that service, so it's going to be bilingual. Look, we have them surrounded. Because you know what? What God sees. See, people look, they look at Easter, they look at eggs, they look at the flowers, they look at the pomp. Do you know what God sees? This is an opportunity to reach people. There's people that God loves. Several of you possibly, because I just know by the testimonies that we get. On Easter, we have people saved by the droves. We have people that got saved for the very first time at Easter last year. And guess what? They're already leading a group by this time this year. Come on, can you give God a hand for that? Do you see? But it's just that principle of doing whatever it takes. And I want to let you know, this is a picture of intercession. We pray for people. The people that you're going to invite this week, pray for them and then do whatever it takes. And that moves the heart of God. See, we all have free will. We're free moral agents. We are human beings. We have a free will. That's what makes Christianity so awesome. You know what I'm saying? It is a free will surrender to God. And so God's not going to force somebody to get saved. But here's what God will do through your prayers and through your efforts. And this is when we pray and we intercede for people to be saved. Here's what God does. He will come in and he will intervene to the highest degree possible to break down everything that's hindering them from coming to him. He'll bring extra conviction. He'll move on their hearts. They'll begin to feel or realize like never before, you know, how empty their life is and that they're looking for that thing that they were created for, that relationship with God. Are you following me? But we play a part in that, gang. It's not going to happen by just all of a sudden all these people are going to wake up and be like, hey, man, I think I'm going to go to church today. No, we've got to partner with God. And this is what the Bible talks about, do the work of the evangelist. These four guys, they were doing the work of the evangelist. They were doing whatever it takes to get their friend in God's house so God could get a hold of him. So look at this. So we have this incredible scene. We have the faith of these friends. And I love this. So they go ahead, they destroy property. You know, there's a big hole in the room. I'm sure the guys, you know, got sheetrock and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I like this. Look what it says. It says, then they lowered the man on his mat. This is kind of the second half of verse 4. It says, they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. In other words, they kept him just as he was. They didn't clean him up any, you know, they didn't give him a new mat. They didn't try to dress him up at all. How many of you are glad that God accepts people just as they are? And this is what I believe. Any house, any church that accepts people just as they are, when that person comes in, they're going to get a clear picture of the love of Jesus Christ. The Bible says he came just as he was. He wasn't lowered down in the corner. You know what I'm saying? He came right down in front of Jesus. I believe this is a picture of God's love when a church has open arms and accepts people just as they are. No strings attached. That person's going to come and he's going to see a clear picture of Jesus for the very first time. I love this. So seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, here's the heart of God, my child, your sins are forgiven. See, this is what Easter weekend is about with God. It's about lost kids coming home. Don't you love that? Jesus addresses him as my child. In other words, you're finally home. You finally come back to your father. He says, your sins are forgiven. The greatest miracle, remember, there's lots of miracles that God does in our lives, but the greatest miracle is the miracle of the forgiveness of sins. And only Jesus Christ and Jesus alone can forgive those sins. The Bible says there's no name given under heaven by which man can be saved except the name of Jesus Christ. And this is the challenge with every, I majored in religious studies at LSU, the challenge with every world religion that adheres to or gleans things from the Old Testament is this, is the Old Testament is very clear that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sin. A price has to be paid for the moral laws that were violated. You following me? And you can address, you know, when I talk to Muslims or I talk to Orthodox Jews, man, this is a challenge. Because when they go to the Old Testament and they looked at it, they know that. They know without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Aren't you glad that that blood's been shed and that price has been paid in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And that is what Easter is all about, man. It's about reaching people. Look, we have Easter egg hunts. That's all fine, okay? We're probably not going to have a lot of flowers on the stage, but God's not interested in the Easter eggs. He's not real interested in the pretty flowers. He wants his kids to come home. And it's an opportunity. And what God is saying, will you be a friend? Will you even be a friend to a stranger? The person that works at Starbucks, the person that you see in the gym, your neighbor that you don't talk to, your neighbor that you don't even like. Well, it's a great opportunity to be a Christian. Go invite somebody that you just don't like. Some of you are like, I already did. They're sitting beside me, bro. You know. But here we go. So here's the picture. Aha! But here's where it starts getting crazy, man, because you knew. Here we go. Verse 6, but some of the teachers of religious law, you know, danger, Will Robinson, danger. You know, every time you see that, you know it's about to happen. Here comes the fight. Some of the teachers of religious law who were sitting there thought to themselves, what is he saying? This is blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. Look, Jesus, he was just wait. Jesus was piped up, man. I'm telling you, you know why God gets piped up when people come against souls being saved. Jesus, look, he doesn't even wait. He didn't even wait for him to say anything. It says Jesus knew immediately what they were thinking. And he's going to pipe right in here. And these Pharisees, you know, think about this. If their hearts were open and they're thinking this, wow, you know, only God can forgive sins. Hint, clue, Jesus is forgiving sins. They just looked at it the wrong way. See, religion just looks at the love of God the wrong way. It should have been a testimony, man, that this is God's son. This is God in the flesh. We can have our sins forgiven just like this man. But here's what I believe. I believe that these Pharisees that were so committed to religion, you know what? I believe that when Jesus did this, this was just the icing on the cake. I don't believe they liked anything that was going on to that point. I don't believe they liked all the visitors, because you know they had some unreligious folk up in this meeting. I mean, it was packed. They didn't like all the mayhem. They didn't like everything. It was a little bit disorderly, and it was loud. You know, Jesus wasn't in the temple. He probably wasn't wearing one of the religious robes. They definitely didn't like, here comes this guy through the roof just as he is. See, religion always comes against people coming to the house of God just as they are. Man, I'm telling you, whenever there's a house of God that's committed to accepting people just as they are with all their sins and their addictions and their issues and all that kind of stuff, I'm telling you, it goes against the grain of religion. They didn't like that whole thing. Religion always fights unconditional acceptance. Religion always fights the unconditional love of God. So here, they pipe up, and Jesus, man, He doesn't even wait for him to say anything. He goes right at him. He says, why do you question this in your heart? See, it's a heart issue. It's not a head issue. You will never understand the love of God with your head. You've got to come to Jesus with your heart. Can I have an amen to that? He says, why do you think this in your hearts? Look, is it easier to say to the paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven? Or stand up, pick up your mat, and walk? In other words, is it easier to forgive sins or is it easier to heal? Look at this. Jesus says, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Can you imagine this guy? Watch this guy. This paralyzed dude, his friends drag him to church. They plop him down in front of Jesus. Jesus, remember the scripture, Jesus said he saw their faith, not the paralyzed man's faith. This is a beautiful picture of intercession and bringing people to church in faith that God's going to do something. He looks at the Bible says Jesus saw their faith, not the paralyzed man's faith. Their faith, the four friends that went to all that energy and effort and prayer to bring their buddy to church. Jesus said he saw their faith, and then he turned to the paralyzed man and said, my child, your sins are forgiven. Come on, God will move when you pray and when you bring people into his house. Obviously, I'm not saying that, you know, people can get saved on. So obviously the paralyzed man was open and wanted God's salvation. But I believe that whole accepting, come as you are atmosphere, friends bringing him, that all had a part to play. And by the time he saw that clear picture of Jesus, man, he was just like, this is unbelievable. Watch this. How about this guy? He gets saved. He gets all his sins forgiven because of his friends. And now Jesus is going to heal him just to get back at the Pharisees. The guy didn't even ask for healing. He didn't have faith for healing. He was just lowered in on the mat. And Jesus saw their faith. He says, my child, your sins are forgiven. Then the Pharisees came in and Jesus says, I'm going to prove to you I can forgive sins. Looks down at the guy and says, now get up and be healed. I mean, can you imagine this guy? He's just like, this is unbelievable. Jesus saves him because of the faith of his friend. And then Jesus heals him to get back at the Pharisees. And what Jesus is saying here, watch this. Here's what all Jesus was doing was prioritizing the miracles. In other words, forgiveness is the greatest miracle. The salvation of someone's soul. It's a beautiful picture of Easter. But guess what? Here's the good news. What Jesus is saying there is my salvation doesn't stop at forgiveness of sins and eternal life. But guess what? He says, man, I'm into the healing business too. And I'm going to give people new life, and I'm going to give them strength, and I'm going to set them free from the addictions and the things that are holding them back, and I'm going to encourage them, and I'm going to heal that hurt. It's a beautiful picture of Easter. What? On Good Friday, Jesus died so that we could be, he paid the price for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And then he rose again the third day into the newness of life. So what? So we could be healed. So we could be new creatures in Christ. So we could have the life and power of God through the Holy Spirit. Come on, man. It's awesome. So here's this dude. Jesus saves him, sees the faith of his friend. He heals him to get back at the Pharisees. And then the Bible says, here's this guy, man. I mean, here he goes. All right, man, look. I mean, now the party's on. Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Watch this. He didn't stand up, the Bible says, verse 12, and the man jumped up. You know, now he's going to pipe in like, you know what I'm saying. Now it's his time, you know. He says, the man jumped up. Jesus said, pick up your mat. Bible says he grabbed his mat. You know, like, I'm going to show you. I've been a slave to you all the year. Guess what? I'm about to jerk you around some. You know what I'm saying? And look what He says, and he walked out through the stunned onlookers. I like this. You know, he just didn't go right home. You know what I'm saying? Oh, baby, it was his time to shine. He's jumping up. He's picking up that mat. You know what I'm saying? Think about it. Who knows how long it's been since this guy moved a limb. I mean, he's going to strut his stuff now, man. He's going to work his way through the crowd. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's working it, baby. Look at these legs. You're going to, come on, I'll give you one. Yeah! You know what I'm saying? He's going to. You're going to roll those arms, man. He got it going on. Come on, let's do some of these. Look. And he goes out through the crowd. And everybody, man, watch this, dude. They are shocked. They are stunned. They're like, we've never seen anything like this before. But you know what? It's just another day at church with Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? Here's all Jesus is doing. Jesus is giving us a picture. This is what's supposed to happen at church. There's supposed to be all kind of people. The church, look, the church is not about religion. It's not about the flowers. It's not about the pomp. It's not about the ceremony. It's about people, and sometimes that's messy. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes people are going to come in, they're going to have some sheetrock on their face. They're going to come in just as they are. It's not about all that stuff. It's about people. It's about the lost. It's about the hurting. It's about having a big tent atmosphere where everybody's welcome. And what God wants to do every time somebody comes in his house that's not saved, he's ready to take back that child, forgive them, heal them, and give them a new life. This is next weekend, gang. Right here. This is Easter Sunday. I want you to think about this. What if you knew? What if you knew? I know we can't control things and all that, but what if you knew that whoever you brought to church next weekend, they'd have their sins forgiven, surrender their lives to Christ, and be changed forever? Would you do whatever it takes? Well, I've already invited them. Call them back. Well, I called them back. Drive your car. Show up at their house. You know what I'm saying? Would you do whatever it takes, press through the inconvenience to get them to God's house? Here's what I believe. I'm telling you this. God gave me this message for this weekend because I believe next weekend there's going to be a lot of lost and hurting people that would not come here on their own. But it's Easter. Okay, hey, you invited me. Hey, okay, you're going to pick me up. Okay, I'll come. I believe God's going to do amazing things in their lives if you'll be a friend to him, just like Jesus did an amazing thing in this man's life. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word, God. Right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, just real quickly, if you just say, Stovall, man, I just want to commit this week. I am going to be a friend to someone and invite them, maybe many people, maybe it's three people. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to invite them to church. And so it's not just going to kind of be a casual deal, but I'm really going to do whatever I can to bring somebody or some people, friends, strangers, neighbors, whoever that might be, family, to church next weekend. Would you just commit that to God? Just raise your hand right now if you're saying, Stovall, I'm in. I'm going to be a friend to someone, and I'm going to do whatever I can. You can't control it, but you're going to do whatever you can to get them to church next week. Wow, you can put those hands down, hands up all over the place. And God, we know you're going to do amazing things. Is there anyone in here and you're like, Stovall, maybe someone invited you to church today, and you're lost and you're hurting, or maybe you had a relationship with God at one time, but you've drifted, you're far away from God. And you just know, man, that you need to commit or recommit your life to Christ, that you want to hear in your heart this morning what Jesus said to that man, my child, your sins are forgiven. If that's you, you need to commit or recommit your life to Christ. And you say, Stovall, just include me in the prayers we close here. If that's you, will you just slip up a hand real quickly to God? Yes, yes. Who else? Anyone else? Yes. You can put those hands down. Thank you. Those aren't for me. Those are for God. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to lead us in a prayer right now. I'm going to ask all of us to stand at this time. I just want to lead us in a prayer. Come on, isn't it awesome to go to a church where you can talk about inviting people to church so they can receive Christ, and people have received Christ right here in this service this morning. Can you give God a big hand for that? Here's what I want to do. I'm going to lead us through a prayer. Okay, and I'm going to ask you, congregation, I'm going to ask you just to repeat this prayer as a declaration of faith. And those that are receiving Christ or recommitting their lives to Christ, I want you to repeat this as well. And then I'm going to pray for you that just God show you those people to invite, that He creates opportunities this week for you to invite people and to show you people maybe that you thought would never come, but that's one of the people that God, one of the persons God wants you to invite. Just bow your heads. Let's come to God. Lord, we thank you for the greatest miracle of salvation, the forgiveness of sins. And right now, if you raised your hand to receive God's forgiveness, and church, let's just repeat this together. Just say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for forgiving me of all of my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I receive your free gift of eternal life. And I thank you that I'm your child. And God, I receive the Holy Spirit, your healing power, your encouragement, and your strength. And I'm walking out of here in newness of life. Amen. And amen. Father, now just pray over everyone right now. Pray over everyone, God. Lord, help us, show us those people to pray for this week. Create the opportunities. Open doors, God. We're going to be a friend like these four guys that carried this man to church, Lord. And we know, God, we know in our hearts you're going to do something incredible in the life of each and every person that we bring this next weekend. We believe you, Lord. We pray for all the lost. We pray for the hurting. Show us who to invite, God. We're going to obey you, Lord. We're going to see you do great and mighty things next weekend. It's going to be an incredible service, God. It's going to be awesome, Lord. We just give you all the praise. And we thank you, God, that it's all for you. And it's all about your kingdom going forward. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen.